When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
As the sun has set over New York City, a light shines bright into the sky, calling on the dark nighttime host of The Fan. Keith McPherson here. Let's get right back to it, Gotham City. 888-808-1019. This All-Star game is underway, or this All-Star weekend and festivities is underway. This home run derby has been mid at best. It's weak right now. I am not impressed. I have seen the last three live. This is not it, folks. All people want to talk about is how bad the national anthem was, and that falls on Major League Baseball. And the Texas Rangers, the host city. I don't like the font. I don't like the logo. I don't like the hats. I don't like the jerseys. Maybe I'm hating because I'm not there, but I could honestly be there. I chose to be a dad and not leave my wife with my crazy son, who is now big and strong and runs and can scratch. And you got to feed that man or he's pissed off. I chose to go down to visit my grandmother and be with my cousins and family as we celebrated the life of my pop-pop Roland last weekend. I have another trip planned coming up. I'm moving later this month. I said I can't swing the All-Star game this year. I could, but what do I have to gain? You know, in the past few years, I would go out to the All-Star game, which I named the Baseball Festival. One day, Major League Baseball will take that name. One day, they might even have a Keith McPherson thing. Keith, explain why this is cool. And I'll explain here on The Fan. Last year, I was there representing The Fan, but I was flown out and taken care of by the Players Alliance because Rob Manfred kicked them a little bit of a budget to play with. And the Players Alliance, which is not just black players, but it was started by black players, and they obviously are on a mission to help increase the number of African-American black players in Major League Baseball, starting with young kids. I mean, they came to WFAN and asked for me specifically. It came through the bosses here. I was pleasantly surprised. Wow, little old me, they want me to come out there and come to their event and cover stuff. And sure, I'm ready to go. So I went. The year before that, I was on MLB Network, a show called Off Base, and I paid my own way, but MLB Network took care of a lot of passes and obviously tickets to the game and things like that. And I wanted to see my sister who lives out in West Hollywood. I took my wife as well. We had a great time in Dodger Stadium, seeing the revamped Dodger Stadium, seeing Juan Soto win the home run derby, and seeing Giancarlo Stanton win MVP of the All-Star game. That was 2021. I had got married on June 30th and had our wedding celebration, which we called McFestival, on July 10th. And instead of going on a tropical vacation or leaving the country, my wife agreed we should go to the All-Star game. And then, of course, we went out to Boulder, Colorado, and did some things out in Colorado after. But we flew out the next morning, went to JFK, flew out to Colorado for the festivities that went on. And back then, I was working with John Boy and John Boy Media. They had events and stuff going on. Paid my way back then. I think John Boy was able to hook up one ticket to the derby. I actually was able to get another ticket from a friend of mine that worked at MLB. And, you know, just making connections and making things happen. And had a great time out there then. What I'll say, the best thing that goes on during the All-Star game is that everybody in baseball descends on one city. Everybody in baseball is in one place. And it's not everybody, but it's a lot of the broadcasters, a lot of the content creators, a lot of people you see on MLB Network, the people you see on Fox, legends of the game. Like, I'm in the club with David Ortiz and Albert Pujols. I'm in the club with Pete Alonso and Julio Rodriguez. It's amazing how Major League Baseball can take over one city, and they do it. Not on the weekend. It starts on the weekend. They have the historically black colleges play in an All-Star game. They have the celebrity game. They have the futures game. And then they have the derby on Monday. and then the All-Star game on Tuesday. But it's great when you just see all of these different people. I get pumped seeing, oh, yo, there's Harold Reynolds. That's my guy. Or Greg Amsinger. Yo, Greg. Like, you know, just seeing everybody in the same place. And I'm blessed. The first time I went to the All-Star game, as I just told you, I went representing WFAN. I went as a MLB Network host. I went as a member of John Boy Media. Paid my way those two times. Had the last trip taken care of by the Players Alliance. The first time I ever went, the MLB Fan Cave took care of my trip. I went there as a cave dweller in 2014, and I cried tears of joy because I got to stand there with my Derek Jeter jersey that I got when I was an 11-year-old kid, and I got to see Jeter's last All-Star game in Minnesota. First time I ever went to Minnesota, only time I went to Minnesota. Target Field is beautiful. We had our own suite because we had the Fan Cave, and we had a show on MTV2 called Off the Bat. So in our suite was the people from the Off the Bat show, Fat Joe, Chris DiStefano, Melanie Iglesias, and Sway. We all kind of got to hang out and watch the Derby. I remember Giancarlo Stanton hit a ball as far as I've ever seen anybody hit in there. And Yoenis Cespedes won that one. And Adam Jones actually hit one up to our section. So yeah, good times. The best things that happen in the few days of the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday that are the All-Star Game, Home Run Derby, and Major League Baseball's Baseball Festival is that, man, you just run into people. You run into content creators. You run into fans. That's another thing. There's just fans of every team out there. Every team represented. Every team's fans are out there. And I've been blessed to see Minnesota host one in Minneapolis. I've been blessed to see it in Denver, Colorado, in Los Angeles, and in Seattle. I'm skipping this year in Dallas. I've been there before. I've never been to Globe Life Park, but unfortunately, I made myself a Dallas Cowboys fan as a child, so I have been out to Jerry World, and I have been to Dallas, and I get it with the barbecue and the Texas and the Cowboys hats and all that other nonsense that they do out there. But here I am tonight hosting my first of four KM to AMs and talking to you. So 888-808-1019, as we watch the Home Run Derby, it has not been as advertised. It has not been as good as it's been in past years. Maybe they do need to bring the one versus one competition back where these guys feel like, hey, I got to beat that guy's score. Because right now the scores are low. Alec Bohm with 21 homers. He was the first one to go. And I was like, that's not enough out of the gate. It's enough right now. It's enough right now because Bobby Witt Jr. followed that up with 18. Or no, Bobby Witt Jr. followed that up with 18 in the regulation. The bonus round, he got to 20. Teoscar Hernandez had only 19. Adolis Garcia had 18. Those are the guys I have my money on. Boo. Pete Alonso, where's Pete Alonso's number? What did Pete Alonso do? We gotta find out. I'll look that up. I must have missed that. Now Jose Ramirez is up to bat. Pete Alonso should win this thing. 888-808-1019. We've been talking about the Yankees. We've been talking about the Mets. We've been talking about the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Let's go to Brian in Stamford. Brian, you're on the Fan. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Keith, how you doing? Love your passion, man.
Thank you. Thanks for calling the show.
I'm actually driving down Ocean City, Maryland with my 11-year-old daughter for a softball tournament, so there's a big argument this weekend on the Fan of whether or not I should have introduced myself as Brian from Stamford or Brian from the Jersey Pike heading south. But, hey, wanted to talk about the Yankees and just give you a little bit of positive energy. I mean, I know you've been really down on them. I think you got a little recency bias, man. I think, let's agree that the Yankees for the past maybe 3 weeks have played about as bad as they can play and are currently one game out. And if you look at maybe they played probably 6 to 7 weeks of really great baseball so that for a longer stretch of time they played better. I would argue they're probably a little bit closer to the really good Yankees than they are the really bad Yankees. And I would say there's a couple of things that I think can make them really good. Are you a believer in this Dominguez kid?
No. As far as like him being a piece to come back and win a World Series this year, no. He's hurt twice, and these are long-term injuries. I can't bank on Jason Dominguez coming back and powering these Yankees to a World Series victory in October. I don't know what he's got an oblique strain after coming back from surgery. I don't know what he is right now.
Okay, God, my point was if you put Dominguez in this lineup with Stanton, you've got four pretty good hitters. If you believe it all in Dominguez, which I do, you don't. So, but add Stanton back in, it's still a decent lineup. You probably have to get a piece. The Yankees ended the All-Star.
I'm with you, Brian, but where is Dominguez playing when he comes back?
He's playing for Verdugo.
In left field?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Maybe.
So you know, and then you got, I think, the best outfield in the majors. And I think some of the problems that have been, you know, lack of hustle, lack of attention to detail, I think you've got three outfielders right there who you're not going to see that problem from.
I don't know. Juan Soto could pick it up a little bit in right field at times, but I know it is what it is. We can't criticize Juan Soto. We want him to stay.
I mean, you know, he came, when he got to the Yankees, I thought you were going to see somebody who didn't hustle. I was actually pretty surprised and delighted watching him play. I think he's a really fun ball player to watch. But the other piece that I think, and maybe I'm stretching here, but the Yankees ended the first half of the season with five healthy starters. And there's one guy that's on the IR, and I forgot who it was. But he had
Clark
a
Schmidt?
Really good first. Who was it?
Clark Schmidt?
Yeah. When's he back?
August, fingers crossed.
Would you ever consider putting Heel on the back end of the bullpen?
Of course. They have to do something with Heel just to keep his innings down, just to take care of his arm. That's a real option that's on the table for everyone, whether I want to or not. They have to figure out something with Heel to stretch him out and make sure that he's healthy for October, whether he's a starter or a bullpen arm. I want him to be a starter. They don't have outside of Garrett Cole, they don't have somebody that I'm confident taking the ball in October outside of Garrett Cole, and that's not how you win a series.
Okay, and you got to keep him inside. I mean, not to ever compare anybody to Mariano Rivera, but he does remind me a little tiny bit of when Mo was setting up for John Wetland. And
Luis,
you know, how he kind of came out of the starter role and eased into that closing role. And my last comment, and I'll hang up and let you talk.
Yeah.
Listen, I grew up in the Don Mattingly era. One of my daughters is named Mattingly. I lived through some really bad years from 85 to like 92. So I know, you know, guys that kind of grew up in the 90s and have seen nothing but the Yankees win World Series. If you've lived through some of the bad times, these are pretty solid times. You know, like, hey, making the playoffs every year was something that just didn't happen.
Minus last year. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. But that's all I got.
Drive safe. Thanks for the call, Brian. 888-808-1019. I mean, I'm not going to counter everything, and like, I don't want to come off like a jerk, but like, nah. You said that the Yankees have just not been playing well the past 3 weeks? No, sir. No, sir. It's a lot longer than that. It's a solid month plus. I've been calling June the gauntlet. I don't think anybody else on WFAN referred to June as the gauntlet. They walked into the June gauntlet and they folded. It exposed them. It revealed everything about this team. It isn't just 3 weeks. We are now in the middle of July. And they ended this All-Star break, or they ended this first half going into this All-Star break, confirming all of the haters, all the naysayers, all of the skeptics, all of the people. They gave them one last game to say, yup, we believe you are more of that than what you were the last 2 days. And I can't even put stock in those last 2 days because the Orioles have been trash. The Orioles are banged up. The Orioles lost to the Cubs. The Cubs came in their building, shut them out, swept them. Right before the Yankees did. So the Yankees had the perfect opportunity to go in there and take all three games. It was written in the stars, but it was not destiny. 888-808-1019. You're talking about Dominguez. Dominguez played 8 games in the major leagues for that trash team we had to watch last year. So do I think the Martian, yeah, embrace the Martian, all that. Do I think the Martian is going to be a great player potentially? Yeah. He looks like a NFL running back that can play center field. Do I know he can play left field? Do I know he can play left field better than Verdugo? Verdugo has had his, you know, his goofs, his errors, his mistakes lately. But I think Verdugo is a better defensive left fielder than Dominguez. Dominguez looked the part in center field for the little bit of time, but like, I don't know if you guys feel me. I don't know if you guys hear me, bro. There's a difference, right? If I was doing this show right now at home as a podcast on YouTube, like I used to do with 10, 15 people watching, it would not feel the same. It would not be that much pressure on me. You know what I'm saying? Would not have the weight and gravity that it has. I'm doing it on WFAN live for 5 hours. Hundreds of thousands of people can hear this over time. People can call on the spot. People can tweet at me at Keith_McPherson on the spot. There's a different level of performance and execution you have to bring to the table. The New York Yankees perform when the lights are low, when the pressure is off, like Carlos Rodon, and like a young Jason Dominguez that came up at the end of the year when the season was cooked. So yeah, he's swinging away, bombs away, hitting home runs, first swing, Verlander, take it deep. There was no pressure. There was no expectations. And you guys want me to believe that he's injury prone already. The New York Yankees, everybody's hurt. Juan Soto comes here, he's got injuries. He's injury prone now. He's 22, 21. And I have to play stock in him coming back to save this team? A kid who had 8 games of experience last year? I was at a couple. I saw him hit the ball live. Great. But who were they facing? No one. There was no pressure. So you mean to tell me that I have to believe? No, I'm not dumb. I have to believe that in October, when the lights are brightest, when the pressure is on, that's what's going to... No, that's not the saving grace. It's just not. Alex Verdugo has to pick it up. This is his last year here. Early on in the season, we were talking about how do we keep Verdugo for years after this. That's done. That's done. There's no way. This is his last season. This is his last half a season in pinstripes. It started off great. There was no adjustment for a guy first time in New York, and we overestimated what he was. Oh, this guy is perfect. We haven't had a left fielder in years. Left-handed bat. This guy's got swag. Moxie. Aura, the dogs, the chains, the tattoos. He's been terrible. 888-808-1019. I'm supposed to believe that, Keith, they're more of what they were to start the year? No! No! Look at baseball. Some of the teams that they beat early on in the year were trash, and then they figured it out. Like, we were raving about the Houston Astros. The Astros, they were terrible. They started to figure it out. Same thing with the Arizona Diamondbacks. They started to figure it out. Do I have to go back? Like, the Cleveland Guardians were not who they are now when they ran into the Yankees. They got to beat up on the White Sox. They got to beat up on the Tigers. They got to beat up on the Twins. They can't even beat the teams in the AL East. Am I losing it? Like, am I seeing something different? As much as people want to call me a Yankee homer and a Yankee fanboy, I'm not. I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm a baseball fan. And I'm not the smartest baseball fan, but I'm also not a dumbass. Just watch. Just look. Just literally look at it. Like, they can't make the play. It is, like, how do you have first place and a sweep after you haven't been able to win a series? How do you have the team that is above you in the rankings, the one team that you got to worry about, you have them in your grasp, and you can't make the final plays, you can't make the pitches, you unravel to the extent where you give up 3 runs in, like, please, bro, you fool me, can't fool me again. 888-808-1019. I want to believe. I want to be dead wrong. I want to win the World Series. I grew up watching the Yankees on TV thinking I could never get up here, thinking I could never afford to go to the game. My only way in was to build a skeleton key through my profession. And look what I've done, thanks to God up above. I want to win just as bad as you guys because I will literally be a part of it. But I watch these guys every night like you do. I can't even go out to dinner or go visit family and take a break from it because I'm a fiend like you are. As long as my cell phone isn't dead, I know exactly what's going on in that Yankee game. And a lot of times I'm looking and I'm shaking my head. And it's not good enough. They're fake elite. It's not good enough. They can't do the basic things like run out ground balls, know how many outs there are, go score the run, pick up the ball, get it to second, take a step back on that. Don't take a step in and then fall flat on your face. I said this last week, they need to wake up and realize who they are, what they represent, and the fan base that they're letting down. This is supposed to be a year where they're hell-bent on being a champion. I don't believe it. I see a team going through the motions, repeating the same mistakes they've done year after year in this era. So if you want to blame Aaron Boone because he's the manager of this, go for it. If you want to blame Brian Cashman because he's the general manager of all of this, go for it. If you want to blame Hal Steinbrenner because he owns the team and this is what we've seen, go for it. I blame the guys on the field. I blame the guys on the field that can live off of Yankees past. They have that many fans in the ballpark because of Yankees past. They have that many fans in the ballpark really because of guys like Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. The rest of these guys, they don't take it serious enough. They're not locked in enough. They're not focused enough, because if they were, they wouldn't let that game slip like it did Sunday. I turned the game off. I sent out a couple tweets in disgust, and I said, don't let the Yankees ruin your Sunday like they did all last month and they did last year. We don't get to play, folks. We don't get to play, but we spend our hard-earned money. We spend time in the car to drive there, time on the train to drive there. I have come from far lengths to get to that stadium to watch that team just to be let down year after year after year. And yeah, if your bar is to win 100 games and make the postseason, cool. But you guys know that's not the bar. You guys know that's not it. It's World Series, because that's what they've sold to us. It's World Series because that is what their brand is built on, the 27-time champions. And if this team is somehow going to get to a World Series this year where it's wide open, and that's what grinds my gears even more, it is not like the Astros are almighty. It is not like some other team put together. But some team is going to make moves. Some team in the AL is going to look at this deadline and say, oh, we can add. And they're going to have an easier time adding than the Yankees will. And so when they get the starting pitcher that puts them over the top, or the bat that's in their lineup that makes them better, like, don't be surprised in October if I'm here talking to you after they get eliminated and I'm saying, go back to June. Go back to last year. Go back to August of 2022. You've seen them rely on Gleyber Torres. You've seen them rely on DJ LeMahieu. You've seen them tell you Volpe is the guy. And you know what? We passed on all these generational shortstops because we have the guy. And they jerked him around. They messed up his development. They need him to click. They need so many things to go right now, from the catching position to the bench, and it's become an issue. Your closer is not a closer. The way that he approaches his job, the way that he executes his job, it is not safe for October. It's just not. So you mean to tell me I gotta trust that Clay Holmes is going to go in and guys are just going to hit bat to ball and the ball's just going to find guys' gloves? It seems to not. He's got 6 blown saves in the first half. Is there 6 more coming up? And even in some of the games where they bailed him out, there's too many guys on the base paths. It's too shaky, man. And there are too many guys in the infield that make errors. There are too many guys that get up to home plate. They're not watching the at-bat before them. A guy can throw a 4-pitch walk to the guy before him. They're coming out first pitch swinging, not looking at a pitch. It drives you nuts. So I don't know how they're being coached. I don't know what they're saying to each other. But what I know is they position themselves like they are the upper echelon. They position themselves like they are the best team in baseball, like they are a better franchise than everyone, and every franchise they face circles them. Every team that they get in a series with, they're not thinking about Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera. They're thinking about, I'm going to rock whatever pitcher they throw out there, and one of these guys is going to give it up on the other side. 888-808-1019. If Judge can't power them to victory, then I don't know. And even when you do have the heroics of a Ben Rice, They blow it. Even when you do have the heroics of a Trent Grisham, they find a way to blow it. And they sign guys like Carlos Rodon. They trade for guys like Frankie Montas. But then when it falls short, they make excuses. And they tell you, oh, well, you can't predict injuries. Or, oh, this wasn't available to us. Oh, and no, we don't need to audit ourselves. We're just going to keep going through the motions because this is good. This is fine. Like the dog in that meme where everything around him is on fire, but he's sitting there with his cup of coffee. This is fine. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got to tell social team, clip that rant. There you go. There's a Yankee rant to clip for the break, where we're supposed to be not worrying about the Yankees. Like, and how sad is that? Early on in this year, man, I couldn't wait for first pitch. Early on this year, Monday would come and I say, what do I do until the Yankees get back on TV? Now Monday comes and we say, we can't lose today. Yeah, off day can't beat us. And now the All-Star break is here, and it's like, man, at least we have 4 days off from watching them play a brand of baseball that just makes you want to throw your remote into the television. 888-808-1019. And yeah, you guys can sell me on the 50-plus wins and one game out of first. You know that doesn't matter. You know that doesn't matter. And be optimistic. I am. I'm still going to games. I'm still rooting for the team. I can't wait for October. But the I told you so and the feeling of like the inevitable, like it's just, there's so many inevitable things that can throw this team off of its course. When it happens, I'm not going to be down about it this year. I'm not going to be depressed about it this year, right? A lot of you guys know I lost my brother, and when I lost my brother was October. When October comes, I always get this eerie feeling. Halloween, the postseason, and the Yankees always exiting a postseason, and I'm telling you, the depression hits me in a way I can't sleep, I can't eat. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it this year. I'm not doing it. And this team gave me these great vibes and this good feeling of like, this could be the year. I'm going to be on the roller coaster, but I have no expectations. I've seen enough. There's so many holes that they have to fill. There's so many problems that they have to fix. And I don't expect Major League Baseball to say, hey, Brian Cashman, how can we help you out for nothing? 888-808-1019. And I also don't expect these guys to actually like, you know, snap into it, because the manager's just going to tell them it's all right in front of them and they hold the pen. So they're going to keep going through the motions. And if Judge doesn't power them to victory and Soto doesn't power them to victory, it'll be one of the guys that you least expect it to fumble a ground ball, let a fly ball go over his head, or to run into some outs on the base paths. And then it'll be the end of the Yankees 2024 season.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It's unbelievable. Yo, Keith McPherson on the Fan. Earlier, when we were talking about the home run derby and I was trying to figure out where Pete Alonso's score was, it didn't come up on what I had because he got eliminated in the first round automatically. He had the lowest score out of the first six contestants. He had 12 home runs. wait. Stop the presses. You know how many people lost money on Pete Alonso that fast? Majority of folks. The conversation around Pete Alonso for the last week, the three-peat, done, retire, don't want to see you in it again. He's regressed. My boy Zeke just texted me, yo, Alonzo's over the hill. We just took a call where a caller said, if Pete Alonso wins, does this help him not get traded? Does this help him with his negotiations in the offseason? And I said, nah, none of this matters. But that showing actually might work against you, Pete. This is your thing. You're the man. You're the two-time home run derby champ. Wait. You forced your way into this spot. Well, I'll only do the home run derby if I'm playing in the All-Star game. Oh, no. You mean to tell me you forced your way into the All-Star game? You took a spot away from Brandon Nimmo or Francisco Lindor to represent the New York Mets so you could hit 12 first-round home runs? That's an all-time bad showing. Pete Alonso, get out of here, bruh. Yikes. 888-808-1019. Dave Joust came back for this? Yeah, oh, yeah. They're bringing back his pitching coach that he likes. Yeah, Pete Alonso, you know, he is the home run derby. No longer. We don't need to see Pete in another one. And this has been whack. Super whack. I don't know who's going to win it. Maybe Ozuna. Did Ozuna go yet? Because I'm looking at these numbers. What do I know? I'm thinking that the little guys with, you know, slim little guys with the little bodies and no weight, no leg strength, I'm thinking they don't stand a chance. Well, Alec Bohm, who went first with 21 home runs, or I'm like, that's not going to hold. He's in the lead. And the smallest guy out of all of them tied what he did. Jose Ramirez put up 21. So right now, Alec Bohm, Jose Ramirez, they're advancing. And then the other guy who's, I don't know, 175 pounds, Bobby Witt Jr., he's advancing with 20 homers. Now right on the cusp is Teoscar Hernandez, who I told you I bet some money on. But really, my money was Adolis Garcia. He's built like a linebacker. That's his ballpark. He was only able to put up 18. Now I see the updated. Ozuna had 16. He's not making the cut. Pete Alonso's not making the cut. this home run derby so far, whack. Glad I'm not there in attendance because I'd be dipping out. Man, the home run derby also is like you drink all day going into the derby. That's like it's a fun day. Like you don't have to be too coherent to watch that. Usually people are in the ballpark saucing all day and getting ready for the festivities tonight. There's usually some big parties after the derby. I'm sure Pete Alonso has a T-Mobile party or something to go to after that. Womp, womp, womp. Pete Alonso, the polar bear, ice cold in the first round. 888-808-1019. The home run derby, not looking great. Now people are betting the live odds. Now all of a sudden, if you thought to put money on Alec Bohm with how much his, like, I think he was like plus 1,500 or greater, maybe 1,900 to win the whole thing. You got to be feeling pretty good about your chances to cash in tonight with how he started. And you know, the fact that he said he took batting practice every day. He made it part of his batting practice every day the last couple weeks since he was announced. A home run derby style batting practice. So he prepared. He got ready. And it shows. Good on him. Good on him. Let's get back to the phones. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM. We're on the second half of my five-hour sports talk show. I'm sorry, Yankee fans. I know there's a lot of you that it's always rainbows and butterflies. The sky is always blue, and you have this dream of the Yankees winning the World Series like I do, but you're never thrown off that course. You never waver from that thought. You just always think that it's going to turn up and work out. But the last 15 years have told you that that's not the case. You ignore that as well. I'm sorry. I don't want to be the guy. I don't know. Maybe C-Mac will come on later tonight and give you some positivity and tell, you know, and maybe he will. I know he was trying to absolve Clay Holmes. I'm not rocking with that. I know there's a lot of people that tell you there's a lot of baseball left and anything can happen, Keith. And they have a trade deadline and they have the best hitter in baseball. They have one of the other best hitters in baseball. They have Gerrit Cole. Yeah, they have too many holes and they have too much bad baseball in their DNA for me. I'm not switching sides. I'm not rocking with another team. But I've watched enough sports. I've watched enough baseball. Maybe not as much as you. But I've watched enough to know, hey, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. When a team time and time again, not just this year, it's years of this. That's why I wasn't so mad about Stroman losing his cool irrationally against Gleyber Torres and getting fired up like that. I'm like, this guy just got here. He's not taking the losing laying down. These guys have gone through these stretches. Remember last year when they needed to get right, they lost 9 games in a row. And what'd they do? They kept running Luis Severino out there, just like they're going to keep running Carlos Rodon out there. Carlos Rodon had a little bit of a better showing, but not really. Like, I still am not impressed with him. I still look at the guy as a weakness. Luis Gil, I'm proud of that kid. In his first full season, we hope a full season, he's showing you a lot of compete. Actually, I don't want to talk about the Yankees anymore. It's just not fun. It brings you down to go through all of their warts. It brings you down to go through all of the problems that they need fixing, knowing that no one is lining up to help them fix those problems. And some of those problems they will ignore. They will ignore DJ LeMahieu because they will say, DJ LeMahieu, they'll look at the back of the baseball card. Hope he has a good second half like he had last year. Gleyber Torres, this is his last run. They're going to stick with him. They will ignore a lot of this. Alex Verdugo is going to be out there in left field every single day. They will ignore a lot of this. Clay Holmes is their closer. They've told you that. Don't expect Mason Miller or Tanner Scott or anybody else. So just don't be fooled and don't be calling up the line when I'm on at night in October and they blow a game 2-1 because somebody couldn't make a simple out, make a simple play. Don't be mad at me when it comes out in October, though, they couldn't hit. Or Judge, they're relying on Judge, and Judge falls into a little slump. And Juan Soto's working his walks, and Judge can't drive him. Like, don't be mad at me, bros. We've seen what they are. I talk about this every year. They have to build to become a champion. You build from the first day of pitchers and catchers, you are starting to build. And I think we assume that the build was done early on, and they regressed. And the way that they looked in this last month, even taking 2 games, I can't put as much stock as you guys in those 2 games they took from the Baltimore Orioles because the Baltimore Orioles have been struggling, have been hit with injuries. They haven't been able to hit for weeks as well. So that's all I've got to say. If you guys want to talk about the Yankees, you can. I see Yankee calls on the line. But I'm not wavering from my stance. Fool me, can't fool me again. It's fake elite. It's a lot of pomp and circumstance from the past. It's a lot of prestige. Oh, they're the New York Yankees. What the hell? Like, they were the New York Yankees. These Yankees, they have an identity crisis every year, and we brainwash ourselves into believing they're just going to snap out of it and be elite when it counts. And with the game on the line, that's when they show you they're not that. They're not that. And I've seen too many examples over the years to just think otherwise. I'm sorry. Call me up and convince me that Jason Dominguez is going to come back and save the day. 888-808-1019. John has been holding, and we were talking Jets. I'm going to go to you Jets fans that heard, obviously, the 8 o'clock hour talking about Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers, talking about the Jets season ticket holders and what they got in the mail and the expectation for the 2024 New York Jets. And I'm excited because, like, as soon as these guys get back on the field this weekend, well, we're going to have football stuff. We're going to have actual football. We're going to have training camp stuff to talk about every day. So the Yankees being the worst team in baseball, that's the most talked about team in baseball. Like, there's no other team that has been this trash over a course of weeks that gets this much conversation anywhere. But this is New York, and they're the Yankees, so we're going to do that. But once football comes, that's when we're going to just start talking about football for any reason that we can. John is in Comac. What's up, John? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
I'm good.
I don't normally listen to the Fan. I was driving earlier. I've been on hold. Thank you for taking the call. Sorry about your brother's loss. You talked about a lot of stuff. I'm a Mets fan. I don't want to see Alonso go, but whatever's better for the team. More importantly, Breece Hall. Is, in your opinion, that was the reason for my call.
Mm-hmm.
I see him tearing her up. And if everything goes well, if the passing game goes well, I mean, I don't, I would you disagree?
I'm hoping to draft him in fantasy this year. It's his second year coming off of that knee injury where most guys, the next year off the knee injury, you expect them to be a little bit better. And, I mean, he was better his first game off the knee injury.
Yes.
Also, it's Nathaniel Hackett's second year here, and it still makes me mad that Nathaniel Hackett at the end of the year said he didn't know what he had in Breece Hall. What? What are you talking about, bro? Give that man the ball. Give him the ball until he can't breathe. Give him the ball until he's tapping his helmet. He needs a breather. Like, that guy should be the center of the offense. I understand you have Aaron Rodgers, but you have a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. Hand the ball off.
Right.
You have a revamped offensive line. Hand that man the ball. Pitch that man the ball. Throw him screens. Design, like, everything to go around Breece Hall, and that's going to help Garrett Wilson. That's going to help a rookie in Malachi Corley. That's going to help, I don't know, Alan Lazard, if you got to rely on him. Mike Williams, if he's healthy to go. The run game. They ranked him number two under Christian McCaffrey as the best running backs in the game. I think he can be a threat similar to Christian McCaffrey in the pass catching game as well. Man, it's Breece Hall's show. It's Breece Hall's team. He was a steal in the draft. I don't think Nathaniel Hackett needs to be reminded this time around. That's your bell cow. That's your workhorse. Hand him the ball until he can't take the ball anymore.
And I agree with you. And I think that he'll be a factor in the, like you said, screen passing right from the backfield. So do you think that he'll have better than 10 rushing touchdowns in the year?
He should. He absolutely should. He should have 10 rushing touchdowns in the first half of the season. In this NFL, like, when you guys get close, he smells the end zone. This guy smells the end zone from far away. When you get close, get Breece the ball, and that helps everything else. If you establish the run, I know there's some football folks listening, establish the run. At least make them think you're going to hand them the ball a bunch of times. Then that opens up the play action. That opens everything else up.
I agree. Thank you for your time. I also just want to touch on the Knicks. It was a shame that, what happened at the end of the season. But do you think that they're going to be a factor this year, like, really,
of course,
to push a championship?
I don't know if they're winning a championship. Thank you for the call, John. I know you say you don't listen to WFAN often. You led with that. But maybe something you heard tonight made you say, I'm going to listen to this whole show. I'm going to call this young man. And, you know, I speak about my brother, and I'm fine. But I talk about October, and anybody that's ever lost someone, you know that birthday comes and that death day comes, and you can't avoid it. You can't avoid thinking about it. You can't avoid how you feel about it. And I've been pretty vocal about it, and I tell anyone I meet, losing my brother is the worst thing that ever happened to me. My brother was like a father figure. My brother's 10 years older than me. My brother helped make me who I am. And he cannot see any of the success that I've had over the last 9 going on 10 years. So it gets compounded with the, you know, the Yankees losing and how much I love the Yankees and how much the Yankees, like the last real thing that my brother saw me do was make the MLB fan cave in 2014. And him being a New Yorker, going to FIT, living in Brooklyn, living in Queens, so much so that he moved to New York and stopped acting like he was from Jersey at all, just perpetrated and pretend he was a New Yorker from New York. You know, he was proud of me. He said, I knew you would figure it out. I knew you would find your thing. Like, you, this is where you belong, in sports, in the fan cave, something like this. And I was like, yeah, bro, thank you. Like, so when October comes, I can't avoid what it felt like going into the precinct and them telling me that my brother passed. Like, I can't avoid those negative feelings, even the fact that he passed days after the Yankees lost in the 2015 wildcard game and I was there. And, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's always a rough month. It's the Halloween factor, the, you know, the Day of the Dead. There's something with the spirits and the energy and the ghost in Yankee Stadium. And there's been a drought, man. There's been a long drought. My brother was in New York for the last Yankees World Series parade. I wasn't. I stayed at school like a dum-dum. I guess I was smart for going to class and going to football practice. But, man, when October comes, it's rough. My mom's birthday is literally a day before the day that my brother passed. Like, that time is a dark time for me. And I think back to years like when the Yankees, when I, you know, I got all this stock riding on the Yankees and they blow it. And it's just like, man, I want to go home, get under the covers and hide. I'm not doing that this year. I'm a grown man. I got a baby now and I got people that depend on me. I'm not doing that. And I want this to be the year that the Yankees win the World Series. But what I'm telling you guys is I've seen enough right now where I'm just not latching myself to that. If they win, I will be ecstatic. But like, they got to show us in this second half that they can be a lot better. And the Jets, they got to show us that they know who Breece Hall is. Aaron Rodgers is one thing. Breece Hall is another thing. Breece Hall could be your guy for the next 10 years. Aaron Rodgers won't be. And with the Knicks, of course, they're going to be a top contender. They're like arguably top 3 in the East. And I think they're top 10 in the entire NBA, depending on how you slice it.